It's so wonderful to have a message from the Holy Spirit. But when I asked the Lord, what would you have me to speak on? He just sovereignly said, love. And by that time, I was crying so hard, it's like, oh no. Oh no. But it's just, and just bear with me, because we love him, don't we? We love him so much. And I just thought, I don't want to go up there and cry. But anyway, we'll start off with, everybody's familiar with 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. And we know that in here, the Holy Spirit, he came and he bought us so many things, and I won't go into all of that, the things that he just, you might say, adorned us with, the Holy Spirit. And we know that it's just wonderful to be able to look to him for these gifts. But, and we're familiar, but faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. And as I was studying this, we know that faith will be made whole when we see him face to face. And we know hope will be done away, in the sense that what we hope for, now we see. We see him. But love, oh my goodness, love abides forever. And I'm so thankful, because I thought, you know, I thought about a precious brother. He was talking about the Apostle Paul, and he said, you know, down that road that Paul took, opposition bristled from every direction to keep our brother from running and being a full overcomer. But you know what? Love doesn't move when those things bristle. Love just continues. If anything, we just grow in grace and knowledge in a deeper measure of its love. So we grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But isn't it wonderful to have something in your life that will never cease throughout the ages, eternity? He'll still be loving on us, and by his grace, we'll still be loving on him. And that is a bridal love. This is a love that continues. And we know that it takes on the height, the width, the depth, the length. And this is where we're growing in. I thought about Ishmael. And after how that he went after his own gain and what was given to Isaac for God's glory. Now Isaac began to somehow, because love does grow, love the Lord. That was the difference there. And that love matured. And we know as we read this, the gifts given to edify the church would not be what it was, what it is, if it wasn't for love. That's the greatest thing. And you think about the Holy Spirit, saints. And some people are offended when they hear someone get up and say, you know, you cannot be in the bride of Christ or even see or understand the high calling of God without the Holy Spirit. But then how are you going to understand without the love of the Holy Spirit? So that's the next thing. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you can't really understand and grow in grace and knowledge to love him with a bridal love. So the fence there is not warranted, in the sense that, yes, you need to be filled to be in the bride of Christ. It's a must, because it is the love of God that's shed abroad that will cause us to fall in love in the depth, the height, the width, the length. And this is just, you know, I tell you what, love matures. It really does. And there, you know, I don't want to keep you long tonight, but you can think of our children. They love us. They love us for what we can give them as they grow up. They don't even understand, in one sense, as they're growing from child babyhood, that there's so much more we want to give them. And so as they mature and love us and want to listen and want to be obedient, then we're able to give them more gifts. They don't understand that. But it's a growth. They love us for, you almost want to say what they can get out of us. We don't want to say that, but that's just the love. They have to grow up and understand that the love we have is for them to mature, to become, you know, men and women of faith. That's what we want more than anything else. But everywhere we see in the Word of God, 1 Thessalonians, our brother Paul is always praying that love would abound. Just more and more and more. And there's no end to it. There's just, and it's wonderful. But the divine love of God is the superior way. It is a better way. There are 16 statements about love. This is the double new creation number. And 8 of these are negative, positive, whatever, however you want to see them. Suffering hits the list. But to love and to understand and continue to realize love never fails. That's one thing. Love cannot fail. Everything else can fail, but love cannot, because it's the divine love of God. And as Pastor said this morning, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And we can all quote that, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. When we receive the Holy Spirit, he pours this divine love into our hearts. And to fail literally means, it means never falls out. It is never banished. It's never hissed from the stage. This is true of Christ. Again, we have the divine love poured into our hearts. But the love which contrived that word, if you want to use it, plan, and fills the Spirit and fills the church, shall abide forever. We pursue love. And you know something? Love pursues us. Even in the natural. Even in the natural, it does. So it's wonderful to be in love. We think, too, about the fruit of the Spirit. Whom God loves, he chastens. He chastens. He disciplines. So isn't it nice to be reminded sometime we can tell our children, you're sitting in the corner because I love you. And they look at you like, that's love. I want you to understand. It's for your good. But the greatest thing, statement that I've ever heard, and I know Nancy, and I just quote it all the time, when she told our pastor, just fall in love with Jesus. Just fall in love with Jesus. And I find myself praying that for my grandchildren more and more, that they would just fall in love with Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Again, love chastens, it corrects, it reproves, it disciplines. Love disciplines. But in love. You know, we don't want to stir our family or our children up into wrath. And sometime without wisdom, I've done that. I used to think, and I'm not here to talk about my family, but my son Aaron was so brilliant, so the teacher said, and every principal. So when he did something, I always thought, he should know better. He's brilliant. That was kind of silly of me. But then one day, Brother McLam pulled me aside. He said, oh, it's the flesh. It's nothing to do with his brilliance. And I thought, praise the Lord. So I began to approach my son not always been so continually, don't do that or you shouldn't do that. It's like, honey, I want you to just let the Lord love you and change. And he began to be just, I can't even tell you, the Lord is faithful. I could see the difference when I began to take that approach to him and move out of the way that brilliant mind meant nothing anymore. And I thank God for that I had someone. But anyway, we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Martha could not understand Mary's devotion. She just couldn't understand it. It's like, why isn't she cooking and cleaning? But you know, saints, I think we have to believe that Mary, anytime you sit at someone's feet and you hear someone tell you all the time, I love you, it's going to have an effect, especially if it's the love of God. And I think Mary was just falling in love with him. It's like, what is she talking about, cooking, cleaning? It's like, I'm in love. She probably didn't tell Martha because she would say, silly woman. Silly. I believe that with all my heart. The love of Christ began to constrain Mary's heart. And she couldn't be moved. She just couldn't. I mean, I can't imagine. Love took a grip so much on Mary, I bet she was looking out the window. Is he coming? That's what love can and will do in our heart. The love of God. Make you look for love. She began to pursue it. She sat at its feet. It's like, I need to hear more about love. I need to hear. And then I know one day she concluded, he is love. He's love. He's love. And I know Martha didn't understand that, and I don't know if she ever mentioned it to her, but her heart was raptured, saints. It was raptured. Love, she was drawn to Christ. The Lord was talking about a love that has no boundaries. Jesus' prayer in John 17, if you want to turn there. 17th chapter, John. One thing he said is he was talking about his ministry. He prays for his own there in John 17. But as he ends his prayer, one thing we'll take note here, that he talks about how much he loved them, how much love that was he had to offer and wanted to share with them. So we think about the love there in this chapter and how he prayed for his own in the sense that he says, sanctify them through thy truth. And then in 26, and I have declared unto them thy name and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. And that was when he was talking about the ones here, the ministry. And so we see that that's one of the things he said. Again, Romans 5:5, and I don't think we're going to go there. But we'll just continue. This completed again Jesus' his earthly ministry. Let's look at John 15:12, since we're here. In John 15:12, this is my commandment. We've heard this many times from the pulpit. You shall abide. See, love comes to abide. It just does. It's not a fleeting thing. I love you today and tomorrow. I don't know about that. That's not love. That's not love. And anytime you ask someone, especially in a relationship, do you love me? What do you expect to hear? I love you back. You expect that. But the love that Christ gives us will abide. The earthly relationships, we pray Godly relationships will always have that love abide because it is a love of Christ. But love will abide. So he commanded us in love, to love one another. Peter's denial foretold. And we think often about Peter and we hear so much about him. But one thing that the more I hear about him and just love him, because he was just motivated to just want to have a part of Christ in every way he could, whether it was something that he thought about before he opened his mouth, I don't think so. But he just spoke up. But you know what captured his heart? Love. He knew that Jesus loved him. He knew that. And when love sets you free in the sense that that fellowship, even Peter had, somehow he knew that it was okay for him to approach the Lord like that because he was loved. So, and Jesus did. He, like we've heard, he loved all the 12 of them. And he loved them until the end. But often think about all the Lord Jesus had to do was look at Peter. And when Pastor brought up that contrite, broken heart, contrition is a mighty leverage on a heart. When you speak of contrition, that's exactly as Pastor was talking about when he made mention of David. You know, when Nathan approached him, contrition just flooded. He really had no choice because, again, love. And he just broke. He broke. And if we stay in that attitude of contrition, a contrite heart, and a lowly heart, spirit, we too will go to our knees for whatever the need is in love. And know that he's going to answer in love. Yes, he disciplines us. But again, it's a different thing when you're disciplined. And love makes a difference. It makes all the difference. But Romans 5:5, the love of God shed abroad, poured out in our hearts like a geyser. Love does not seek its own. It seeks the welfare of others. Love works no ill. Let's turn back to 1 Corinthians 13. And let's just look at this again for a moment. Because we want to see all of facets. And we know them. We've heard them before. We'll just start in verse 5. Well, 4. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemingly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. That's a good one, saints. Not easily provoked. Love has that capture around that heart of love. And even when we read this, it causes us, is a better word, to not be so easily provoked, even in the house of God. Instead of saying, well, I don't know why they said that, we begin to say, you know, don't let me think on that. Don't let me begin to put my thoughts on that. Because just as surely as you do, the flesh will try to come along and make something out of it. And I know with me, I don't know about others, there's things that I've heard, and definitely they weren't meant in the sense that I heard them said. It wasn't meant to provoke. But you can take it that way. But love does not intentionally provoke. And that's another thing. And I have to go back to children when I think of that. thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. What about beareth all things? And I just want to say there again about our sweet Apostle Paul. You know, the love that the Holy Spirit gave us and that Apostle Paul was full of. Beareth all things. How many things ahead on that race course and track and just path that, how many things do you think that love was going to have to bear? Teeny bit. Overwhelming. Even against his own kinsmen and the brothers that love. So again, that's why love never failed. Love is a strong entity. And it did. We know that he was a full overcomer. Paul couldn't have overcome in any sense without the love of God, without the love of Christ, and neither can we. It was love. Love constrained him. And we know any time that word constrained means love held him. It held him. On that race course, on that path, it held us. It will hold us, saints. It will hold us. Love will win every time. Love does not give up. It draws. It takes our hearts and fills them up with him. And when Paul tells us the fullness of God, that's what we're full of. We're full of love that grace has provided. That makes you, as our pastor used to say, love everybody. Love becomes so amazing to us. Do you just think, I never thought I could love that person. Now I can't help myself. I'm serious. I can't help but love them. I praise the Lord. I want to love them. I want to be in fellowship with them. Oh, love is something else. The love of Christ, the love of God. Oh, it's just so wonderful. Love never faileth, but whether there be prophecy, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall fail. Whether there be knowledge, it shall manage away. And we know in part and prophesy in part. So we're just going to stop there. And then 13 again, and now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Love seeks. That word seek can mean inquire. Love inquires. It does that. God's divine love. Again, we're enriched in his love. The wonderful Holy Spirit convicts. But we know that we think about how the profitable part of the grace of God, and it's even more. It's just, love is a counselor. It's like the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is an intercessor, teacher. We have the Spirit of truth. He will guide us into all the truth. Will love testify of Christ? He has a testimony. He carries a testimony at all times. Sometimes one of the greatest blessings to my heart is just to tell someone, maybe not get deeply acquainted, do you know God loves you? Love testifies of his love. So we have, you say, I don't have a testimony. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Because you can tell someone that Jesus loves them. But again, as we read about the Lord sending the Holy Spirit, he says there are many things he has to say, but you're not able to bear them, grasp them. It tells of the things to come. What he hears from the Father, love honors and glorifies me. And then the Holy Spirit continues to say, what he hears from the Father is what he will give us. He will reveal what is mine to you. Love is active. It's not passive. You don't sit down and hold your hands and you see someone in need and you know God has provided for them through you and just sit there and don't you do anything about it. Love is not passive. It's not something that love moves you. It moves your heart to want to help, to want to do something for the glory of God in his love. But again, the word pursue means to chase after, to go after. So he asked Peter, "Lovest thou me more than these?" You see, Peter was going to come to a place where he heard Paul talk about some wonderful truths that he didn't understand. And God knew, this was his plan. Not only did he know. So when he asked Peter that, I'm quite sure as I read that, that when Peter said, Paul says things that are hard to understand, that people wrestle with. Well, you know what? But Peter broke that contrite heart. But he said, you know, son, love told Peter, you need to listen. This is the love. Will God that so loved you tell you anything through Paul or anyone else? Anything that wouldn't be profitable for you? That's why he encouraged. You may wrestle with these things of being filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. But God loves you. He's not going to give you anything that's not profitable. So he wants to give you something that will cause you to be able to love him back. Love does not fear. Again, it pursues. The power, again, from the Holy Spirit that came from on high is the power that God gave to us, for us to be able to overcome. And he said, in all things. So my conclusion is, it's just so wonderful to be in love. There's nothing like it. It's just wonderful to be in love with Jesus Christ. Sometime, and I don't want to talk about me, sometime in my heart I think, I just love you. And one day I thought, am I telling you too much that I love you? I don't think so. That's the answer that came back to me. Because it came from him to begin with. I didn't put this here. But you just see his mercy and his grace flow out and his continually just, you might say, taking you in his arms of love, protecting you, comforting you. Just, you can't help when you have that to just tell him, I love you. I love you. I love you. This is a bridal love. This is a bridal love. Our bridegroom Jesus, what a courtship that love reigns. It reigns. The Apostle Paul had the same divine love. When Jesus wept over Jerusalem, he lamented. That was divine. That was the love. He actually cried, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. He wanted to gather them like a mother chick does her hens. He said, but you would not. Right now, our hearts are grieved in some ways. We have family members that we love dearly. And our hearts, we can understand the weeping. Even if it's not, sometimes it causes you to weep out loud. You just fall on your face and it's like, God, get a hold of them. Get a hold of their hearts for you. I want them to have your best. I want them to run to with you as their prize. This is love. This is the love of God. And it intensifies. It really does. You just think, and you know, you might think for a moment, what can I do? Nothing. But pray. And pray that they'll fall in love with Jesus in this message. That's all you can do. But it really causes you to just cry out. And don't stop. Don't stop. He hasn't come yet. We haven't heard the trump. We may any moment. But till we do, keep praying. Keep believing. Keep showing them love every chance you get. The love of Christ in us. And so, but anyway, Paul had that same divine love. There in Luke 13:34, when Jesus lamented over Jerusalem. You see, his love loves to love. His love loves to love. Unquenchable. Who can give the dimensions of the depth, the height, the width, the length? So we're going to look at some of these. I'm not going to keep you long tonight. And as Pastor always tells us in Galatians, faith worketh by love. In Romans 8, we know that. Let's turn to Romans 8. We know there in the 8th chapter of Romans. It's just wonderful to read again and again, over and over, about the love of Christ. Let's go into the verses. You see, who can separate us? We know this. We can quote this, verse 35, from the love of Christ. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. But Paul tells us, nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors. Through him that what? Liked us? Loved us. More than conquerors. In all these things. And he said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height or depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, in this life, there's no guarantee. There's some things you're going to be separated from that you wish you could hold on to, or you wish maybe you would have in your life. But as we know, the word tells us it works together for our good. But love, we can't be separated. That's amazing. We cannot be separated from the love of God. And Paul, no doubt, I would just say that he enlarged on these things that he named, what can separate his love. His love never changes. He said, for I'm persuaded. You see, that love persuaded him. There's love again. You can't be persuaded without the love of God. Love persuades. It persuades us to love when we think we can't. You can go on and on about the persuasion of God's love. But again, all this is entirely through the love of God that we're more than conquerors. The word overcome, we know in the Greek, is a preposition meaning over, linked, to conquer. To overpower in victory, to be abundantly victorious, to prevail mightily. Again, the meaning of this great array of words that he puts here, death, life, power, present, things to come. Paul uses death. He enlarged on this. So when he said death, that means the extension of life. Extinction of life could not, that couldn't even change the love of Christ. Nothing is what he's saying could separate us. We know that death cannot. But he kept enlarging on this. He said, principalities, what does that mean? That means those things that has authority in life, could have over us. And we know it's evil powers, but they can't. They have no power because to separate us from the love of God. There's nothing in there that can separate us from the love of God. And so this is comforting, very comforting. Because people will say, well, what do you mean separate you from? You can separate yourself. No, you cannot. I mean, whether you run that race or not, and God forbid we would think this way, because ultimate is God's best, and we can only say by his grace and mercy that we will win him. But he's made that provision. He's going to have a bride. He's going to have a wife. Why not me? That's what you say. Why not me? Because the love. But in Paul's surmising here, he seems to try to think of everything that could separate us. He looked into every detail, actually, systematically. And he was persuaded what he was saying was true. So we go back to principalities. And then he said, and we can go to Ephesians 6:12. I won't go there. Powers. And that's authority. Things present. What does it mean, things present? Many present things or things in sight may be fearful to us sometimes. But they can't separate us from the love of God. God, perfect love casts out all fear. It may seem like it might be able to do something, but it can't. We know that we have a love abiding in us that will not be moved by anything. Principalities and powers. It's like, get behind me. Get behind me in the name of Jesus. It's like you have them. And then the coming of Christ, but love can never separate present things, but can never separate us from the love of Christ. What about things to come? The future. Can it separate us from the love of God? No. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. Height is exaltation. It is like dignity in some sense, a towering of self-conceit. I'm better than you. You know, we're not in the same league. That can't separate us. It doesn't matter what you possess. That can't separate us from the love of Christ. A self-presumption, regardless. What about the depths? What about the deep waters? Deep laid plans. Despite the trials and deep plans that we might think of Satan, and we don't really talk about him, but there's no separation. What about nor any other creature shall separate us? What about that? Or will be able to separate us from the love of God? Some will say, and Brother Jesse enlarged on that, but what about sin? We have one of the most precious messages of David's life. Can sin separate us from the love of God? No. That was made very wonderfully clear to us, clear to the light this morning. Praise the Lord. So in all of that, if it was sin, why did God commend his love toward us? While we were yet sinners. That couldn't have happened if it was going to be sin. He already loved us while we were sinners. And even that act of sin. But then we learned that even sin did not separate from his love. Turning a little bit to this thought, he will delight in giving us all things. Beyond all things. This is limitless. The scope of his love. If the love of God is so great, and that the desire of that love toward us will cause him to to go to the length. And he did, is to give his the son of his love. Then we may conclude there is nothing else or can will stand in the way of God's great love plan for us, which is to win him as our bridegroom. He chose to save us and call us his own. He fully made all plans to justify us rightly. He did. Who has the audacity, who would have the audacity to try to bring anything against God's elect? No one. Who is he that would try to condemn us? Christ died for us, yea, rather, that is risen. So again, this verse breathes confidence and assurance. Nothing can separate it. You want the breath of confidence and assurance? When you read this, nothing can separate it from the love of God. He makes intercession for us. And again, who can give the dimensions of Christ's love? Who can measure it? Its scope, its breadth, length, depth, and height. Who can speak of exhausting his love? It is love without selfishness. His love loves to love. So wonderful. It sounds the deepest need and plumbs the greatest depths of human sin and failure. His love extends, in one sense, it seems like to eternity. I mean, it is eternity forward and backward. Because in his eyes, his eternal love has gripped us right now. Paul seemed to have weighed everything to see if anything again could separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing could. If anyone, anywhere, at any time thinks it can, don't tell me about it. You're wasting your time. You're just wasting your time. Because I know, I'm convinced, persuaded, and I know so are you that nothing. And don't go, do you remember when? No, I don't remember when. I don't want to remember when. All I can see is God's love, that grace, that mercy. Gives no room for remember when. And sometimes I feel like the kids, just leave me alone. I don't want to hear that. But again, we are trained for a throne. We're being trained to rule and reign with Christ. This is a part. Tribulation is another one. It means to squeeze, to press, to distress, to crowd together into a narrow way. Even that could not separate us from the love of Christ. So you see, saints, we are so secure. We're just in God's love way. Nothing. And that's why, by God's grace and mercy, we can walk humbly. We need to walk humbly, but we can definitely walk uprightly. And someone might say, well, why are you so encouraged? Or why are you so sure? Because the love of God. I have a love that, as the song said, Brother Copley, that will never let me go. Oh, love that Jesus did bestow. So again, it's just a small compared to what we learned about love. But I just thought, geez, it's just, you know, you don't know what, it's speechless. It leaves you speechless. But one day, let's look at one more thing, Church of Philadelphia. Brotherly love in this church. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, this third chapter of Revelation, we all know that. Write these things, says he that is holy, he is that is true. He that has the key of David, the authority, he that openeth, no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. He says, I know that works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door of translation, and no man can shut it, for thou hast little strength. We're learning to rejoice in that little strength that we're learning. And has kept my word. Love keeps his word in us. Amen. Little strength, and has kept my word, and has not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them come and worship before thy feet, and to know that what? What are they going to know through all of this? That I have loved thee, Sam. I have loved thee. I have loved thee. I have loved thee. That's what this overcoming bridal group will know. And we know it now, but it'll just intensify the knowledge, the assurance of his love. It never love again. It moves us. We're growing in grace and knowledge of his love. Love matures if, no matter how. If we're here till next week and we're loving on him, that love has gone to another dimension, depths in us. That I have loved thee because I have kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast. Hold that fast. What fast? We can't do anything, but we can sure stay fast in love with him by his grace through the power of the Holy Spirit. In love with him, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go out. Shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the new Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him a new name. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says in the churches. Peter, loveth thou me? You know, I kind of like you. Peter, loveth thou me? Yea, Lord, you know, that's that filial love. You know, I'm beginning to adore you. Peter! Don't let him say that to your heart three times, saints. Don't let him have to say that three times to you. Just let him know by his grace and mercy, I love you, I love you, I love you. Let's stand. Let's